welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. Thanks so much for joining us here as we get set to take a look at those choices and knowledge of those choices to help make you make your dreams come true and make a better world for all of us. It's really what we're all kind of striving for. We come your way every Saturday, 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific time. We stream live on the internet at richarddugan.com, and we archive these radio programs at richarddugan.com. You go to the radio shows page, and voila, you can listen to darn near 200 programs that we have done in the last almost four years. It'll be September of this year, 2011. It'll be 4 years. Amazing, just amazing. Well, a lot of things are happening around the world. A lot of changes, a lot of excitement, depending upon what you're following and what you're into. And we're here to sort of take a look at a lot of different things. There are people that are out there, and the whole purpose of this program is to bring people to your attention who are out there making a difference. They're making, they're changing their world, and by virtue of changing their world, they're changing our world. Matter of fact, on one of our programs, and I remember discussing the subject or the saying that you can't change someone else. You can only change yourself. And yet, if you start to take a strong, hard look at it, the reality is you can change someone else. By virtue of coming into their sphere of influence, by virtue of coming into their life with what you have to offer, sharing it with them, you've changed them. And strangely enough, whether they like it or not, but they can go their own direction, do their own thing. It's not taking away free will. It's just saying that, hey, I've had an impact on that person. It's like with anything that you watch, anything you read, anything that you take into your body through your five senses changes you, or even your sixth sense, that intuitive sense. And we're going to talk a little bit about that with our guest, Gail Bongalis. She is the host of her own radio program. It's called the Universal Hope Radio Show, Mondays at 6 p.m. Pacific time. And it's broadcast, it's an internet radio program. It's broadcast at SQR.FM. And we are very happy to have her on the program with us. Gail, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for your invitation, Richard. It's a pleasure.
You know, as radio, I'm curious, how long have you been hosting this radio program or been involved in, and I will call it radio, a radio show, even though it's internet, it's still the same context. How long have you been doing this?
Well, we're just coming up on our second anniversary and just had our 100th show a couple of weeks ago.
You know, after 2 years, you usually do hit 100 shows, which is kind of nice. I get a thrill out of having people on the program and talking about all of the myriad things that they're into, that we're into, and the things that we've observed as we've gone through our lives. And I know, too, that you and I are sitting here, and as of May 14th, 2011, we are quite literally 7 days away from what has been predicted by some to be a rather monumental or momentous day, could be a horrific day for others. Some are claiming that the 21st of May, 2011, is the rapture, according to Christian teaching and biblical information, that this is when the rapture is supposed to happen. And there's a particular minister, whose name I will not mention, who is purported to have bought billboards, and I've seen a few of the videos. As a matter of fact, I know the gentleman, going back to my Christian broadcasting days back in the 80s, early 90s. And I'm curious as to your take on that kind of predicting. I mean, you and I are very familiar with 2012, December 21st as well. And the same kinds of things are happening around that as well. So let's talk a little bit about that as we venture into this program.
Sure. Thank you, Richard. I don't give those kind of predictions much credence because, for instance, the Mayan calendar, one cannot go on ad infinitum calculating. So I think they just ended it. And even, for example, yesterday in Italy, they were predicting a massive, horrendous earthquake, which did not materialize. And thousands of people left their businesses, left their homes, left Rome, and it didn't materialize. So I think that there is a lot of fear-mongering going on out there.
It reminds me a little of Y2K. And mm-hmm. I even remember in Phoenix, where I was at the time, I left the radio station after taking care of business, and I headed. It happened to be a Friday that year, and I drove over to the gas station to fill up the car. I always go to the gas station on Fridays, and that's what I did to fill up the car. This had nothing to do with Y2K or anything. And I was in there getting gas, and I was in their station paying for the gas. And a woman came rushing in saying, I need to fill up my car, blah, 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 blah. I need to do this and that and the other thing because, you know, the computers aren't going to be working after tonight at midnight and la, la, la. And I had to stop her. I said, excuse me, ma'am, I work in the media, and we're talking about noon Phoenix time. I said, on the 31st, I said, we've been getting reports already from the various parts of the world where it's already transitioned into January 1st, mm-hmm. and nothing's happening. Nothing is happening out of the ordinary. Calm yourself. We get so wound up over what other mm-hmm. people say.
Mm-hmm. And then when nothing happens, it's almost like they're upset because nothing happens.
Yeah. Let's talk about these kinds of things, and let's inject the higher self, our intuition, that still small voice. How can that help us?
Well, I think it can give us inner guidance. I know it can give me an inner guidance. I think the problem is that people are just too busy to hear their inner voice. A lot of people don't even know that they have one. They're rushing here, racing there, and they're never quiet enough, long enough, on a regular basis to allow it to come through.
Yeah. In terms of this radio program that you do, tell us a little bit about the types of subjects that you deal with.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. The radio show is where the arts, science, and spiritualism meet with personal development for unique and creative healing opportunities. So I interview a lot of different doctors and specialists with trauma, psychologists, art therapists, music therapists, and vocalists, anyone who has an unusual healing modality that we would not consider allopathic.
Okay. Now, define allopathic.
Sure. Basically, Western medicine.
Ah, okay. Orthodox,
mm-hmm.
traditional.
Pharmaceuticals.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what drove you or led you, usually it's a leading, to do radio, to do these programs, especially, obviously you're committed to doing it. You've been doing it for 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was quite ill for a number of years with fibromyalgia back in the 90s. And even bedridden, and many practitioners and doctors gave up on me. They said, I'm sorry, there's nothing further we can do. And it was prior to the knowledge that they have today about fibromyalgia, and it took 5 years for me to even be diagnosed. So I decided that I had to take control of my own health. And I began with acupuncture and then massage and naturopathic. And then, you know, I noticed I had tried all of those things separately in the past, but they helped, but nothing really helped me heal until I tried them together. And it created a synergistic effect, and they built upon each other. And then I became curious and wondered, what is going to add to this? And I threw in Reiki and Bach flower remedies, craniosacral, you name it, I tried it. And I noticed an interesting thing, and that was that with each therapy I had, including psychotherapy, music therapy, anything like that, there was always an emotional release. And so that led me to learning about energy work as well. And I believe that for each person, it's a different healing path, and it's up to the individual to figure out what works for them,
mm-hmm.
and not just take a doctor's advice as you know, the last word. So it's all of those people who can offer different healing methods that I like to interview, and I learn from them as well as passing their information on to my listeners.
Now, would you consider this area, this is your area of expertise?
Oh, hardly. No, I'm just learning like everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the advertisement for my show is Discover Healing on a Whole New Level as Gail interviews fascinating guests from diverse fields. Learn along with her as she delves into the synergy of the healing arts. So, I love it. I love finding out about people, what makes them tick, and why are they doing what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, possibly the listeners can identify with those people that I'm interviewing.
Now, you had an experience, and we've talked about these experiences on this program before. You had a near-death experience back in 93.
I did, yes.
Now, before that happened, what was your perspective on death and dying, or as I like to call it, transitioning, out-of-body experiences and near-death experiences? Where were you before, and where are you now?
Well, I believed way back then, in my other lifetime almost, that once you're dead, you're gone. That's it. And I wanted to believe in spirit and ghosts. It was not realistic for me. I couldn't comprehend of that. So I was, I would consider myself not an atheist, but an agnostic. I believed in God, a higher power, but did not, could not comprehend that our spirits would live on. So I had a horseback riding accident in 1993, and that resulted in amnesia for a short time. And up until a few years ago, I was not able to recall that accident. And about 10 years ago, I started looking into different faiths because of my illness. I needed some faith to... something to hang on to, and my doctor recommended to check various faiths out, so I did. And the one that really captured my curiosity was mediumship. Well, that's not a faith. It's spiritualism, which is more of a philosophy than a religion.
Mm-hmm.
But it does encompass all religions, and I think that spirituality... Well, religion is how we practice and demonstrate our spirituality.
Yeah.
So I began to go to the demonstrations, and soon enough I got visits from relatives. And it's something that you cannot describe unless it has actually happened to you, the feeling. And after a while, they bring messages to you that only you would know. And when that after that happens enough, it's you have no choice but to believe and believe in the afterlife. So when I had that shift, it was as if someone picked my body up, turned me around, and sat me back down. It felt like a physical shift of my body, and I knew that my whole belief system, everything that I had placed my life on,
mm-hmm.
had shifted. It was amazing. And so now I have a whole new outlook on death. I do not fear death at all, even though I've come close to death several times. I it's not that I'm looking forward to it, but I don't fear it. And for me, it's like a rebirth, or it's my spirit will live on, as all of our spirits will live on, and it will be a new chapter. And I believe that our spirits are all around us, our relative spirits and friends, but we just can't see them. Now, and they're trying desperately to communicate to us.
and of course I'm wondering there, because I've made the comment that we can't really know. I heard the other day that the death process and the transition, if you will, is it's like a secret, and you won't know the secret until it happens to you.
Yes, I believe that. Mm-hmm.
So that leads me to the conclusion, if I was to choose to go with that particular model, mm-hmm. that they, on the other side, can't mm-hmm. tell us.
Yes, I believe that too.
And I'm wondering if you've ever asked.
I have not, but I must put out the feelers and see if I can and come up with anything.
going through programs like I have, personal growth programs in the 80s and 90s, one of the things that they always told us was, please do not share your experiences with anybody else other than first person and what happened to you. And do not tell them about the exercises, because if they were to come through the program, we want them to come in fresh and clean, if you will. We don't want them to come in with preconceived notions of what's going to happen. And I'm wondering if maybe the universe is kind of trying to say the same thing in that context.
Well, I think there is some debate about that, because some people think that is there's a large group theory, and that's one of the methods that they use for brainwashing in large groups. So is it really that they want to other people to have that same experience, or are they being brainwashed? I don't know, and I don't need to make a decision on it, because I think for myself.
Yeah.
But it's an interesting idea.
It's the same along the same lines of a new movie comes out. Ah, the trailers look really cool. Mm-hmm. Somebody else has already seen it. Don't tell me the ending. I want to go see how it ends myself. Kind of
yeah.
thing. You know, that type of thing, and maybe it's. We need to have our own experiences, not interfered with, if you will, by the words of others. And it's great you had your experience, but don't share yours with me, because I want to have my own, and I want to make up my own mind fresh and clean and clear.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Well, I feel really fortunate to have had the near-death experience that I had. A few years ago, I recalled the event and what happened. I was knocked from the horse and hit my head. And I remember when I was waking up, but a few years ago, I remembered what happened while I was out. And it was, you know, going towards the light, the whole standard thing, and how beautiful it was. And I remember that I did not want to come back. So I know that whatever it is that we're going to is going to be a beautiful thing.
Oh, well, now, wait a minute. You didn't want to come back. What made you come back?
I kept hearing someone calling my name over and over again, and it was, oh, for heaven's sake, go away, go away. I don't want to come back. And if that friend had not, he was coming back to me on horseback, mm-hmm. if he had not been calling my name so, you know, so loud, so frequently, I think that I may have slipped away, you know, mm-hmm. and passed over.
Now, you are also into something that is rather unique, in that you delve into genealogical counseling, or consulting, I should say.
Consulting,
but,
yeah.
But actually, what I found interesting was you deal in what you refer to as spiritual genealogy.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about that.
Again, that is connection with our ancestors, and genealogy. I like to refer to myself as a holistic genealogist because I look at it from all angles, from not only the research and writing it down on paper, you know, the physical facts, but also the spiritual side of it, and It's connecting with our ancestors, and the more you research them, the family just begins to come alive. And if you're open to it, if you allow it, your ancestors will come, and they will begin to speak with you. And I believe that it takes a while to recognize that it's them, and it's a fascinating, fascinating field. Wilbert Alex, who is psychologist. He specializes in psychological things. I'm not sure whether he's a psychologist himself, but a modern neo-shaman. He conducts what's called the dynamic mythology experience, and he has what's called an ancestor walk, where you come face to face with your ancestors, and you see them. It is amazing. So things like that. I also have mediums on my show who can connect you with your ancestors if they're trying to come through.
We're going to talk more about this. I want to delve into it further as we continue talking with Gail Bongalis. She is the host of the radio show Universal Hope, and it's also a website, universalhoperadio.com. She broadcasts at sqr.fm Mondays at 6 p.m., and we come your way every Saturday at 3 p.m. Pacific time, except for May in 2011. We're coming your way at 7 p.m., and we stream live on the internet at richarddugan.com. We encourage you to stay right where you are. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. As we pause halfway through our interview with Gail Bongalis, we are going to talk with our AAA editor, Beth McDonald of BethMcDonaldConsulting.com, to find out about what is going on in the universe, both at the macro and the micro, and maybe we have to come up with a third one, Beth, the spiritual universe as well, because that all ties in there. And we were talking, Gail and I were talking a little bit about the still small voice and listening. And one of the comments that I remember hearing myself say to somebody who was seeking some advice about a situation was that you need to listen to that still small voice, or your intuition, or that gut feeling. It's all the same thing, because it will never, ever, ever steer you wrong.
Right.
Yeah.
That is absolutely correct. And a lot of times, the more you ignore it, the louder it gets. Yeah, so it's just smart to be responsive, you know?
So we're listening, communicating, and in doing so, especially with those integral parts of ourselves, then we develop and create in our lives a more harmonious existence.
Very much so. Very much so. And, you know, this time of year, I see so many people come in, especially with the coming eclipses, putting so much emphasis on family, you know, because they're wanting to be in more harmonious relationships with these souls that are so important to them. But you can't do that if you're not really listening to them, and you can't listen to them if you're not listening to you. And so it all really starts with you. It really all starts with that personal relationship with yourself and your own soul, and listening to that soul's voice.
That's an interesting way of phrasing that. And of course, you know, we're all trying our very best to do the best we can. And I'm looking at some of the notes that you've shared with me that we're going to talk a little bit about in terms of the planets and their alignment. But I was just thinking, I was going to ask you, so when is the next Mercury in retrograde? And the reason I'm asking this is because instead of looking at it from any fear-based position, it's like, oh, great, the next opportunity to learn more about myself is coming. I can hardly wait.
You are learning. I am so happy. This makes me so happy. I have successfully reframed this for you. That makes me really happy.
I'm hoping to maintain that, too.
Yep. Yep, the next Mercury retrograde is coming up. I believe it starts on the 6th of August, the 6th or the 2nd.
Okay.
Let me look. It's in August, and it's in Virgo. And Virgo is very much about how you serve God and how you serve your fellow man and how you serve in the world to elevate and enlighten and, you know, be a being of raised consciousness and, mm-hmm. and be a being who helps. But to do that in a way that doesn't make you resentful or hideously, you know, codependent or to where you're denying yourself so much that you're bitter about it. Okay,
yeah.
I found my notes. It's August 2nd to the 26th.
Okay.
Is the Mercury retrograde. It is in Virgo.
Now, when it's in a different sign, that retrograde period is in a different sign, it means something slightly different, right?
It has a different focus.
Different focus.
It has a slightly different focus.
Okay.
A Mercury retrograde is in Leo, which is a much more self-oriented sign, and much more about your exuberant... your own personal, artistic, exuberant, glorious self.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going to get more information about that. It helps you find your more artistic side, your creativity, that sort of thing. You know, Virgo is a very pristine, a very pure energy. It's very holy. And so you're finding the God within,
right,
so that you can be connected and serve the God without.
So we don't get too far ahead here. We have the 21st of May coming up, and for a lot of people it's very significant. Is there a real big significance from an astrological, astronomical perspective?
Well, for me, being a Gemini, I'm thrilled because that's the day that the sun moves into Gemini. Different people think different things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see this particular May 21st as being a bigger day
mm-hmm.
Than any other. There's a moon void for a while there, for about 5 hours. There's a lot of planetary aspects, but I don't get the sense that it's... that big of a deal. I'm more focused on, the lunar Beltane
mm-hmm.
is the 17th.
Okay.
And, you know, that's the May Day, the festival of spring and fertility. Some days our Gregorian calendar lines up with the lunar calendar just fine,
mm-hmm.
or some years, and some years it doesn't.
Yeah.
This year there was, you know, about a 2.5 week gap between the Gregorian May Day and the lunar May Day.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we can look, as we have our last minute here, we can look over the next couple of weeks or even just this next week, because we're going to have you back next Saturday as well.
Right.
Focal points.
Focal point is definitely relationships and creating harmony in relationships, especially either with women or utilizing more of the divine feminine energy and archetype.
Mm, interesting stuff. Well, I'm fascinated by all of this as we talk more and more about it. And I think, again, part of our objective here is to demystify things. And so we're trying to do that, especially
yes.
specifically with the whole retrograde thing. And if we can begin to look at the focal points as retrograde is in the different signs, I think we'll have a better understanding, and I'm glad that you've provided that. And again, people can go to BethMcDonaldConsulting.com.
Yes, they can. And thanks again, Richard. You guys have a great day.
You too. We'll be back with more here on Tell Me Your Story.
Tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand you.
Understanding where we're coming from on the points of a circle is what we're all about, looking at the various events that are going on in the world and in our lives, and trying to sort of get a better perspective to broaden our horizons. And Gail Bongalis is joining us. She is the host of Universal Hope Radio, and she broadcasts on SQR.FM Mondays at 6 p.m. Pacific Time. And, of course, you can find out more about her. We are linked to her website, UniversalHopeRadio.com. Gail, I want to talk a little bit more about this whole business of the genealogy and And a thought came to me as you were sharing, as we ended our last segment with you, that when a child is born into this world and the relatives look at the infant, and then, they, of course, they observe the infant as the infant grows into a toddler, they'll make certain comments like, gee, you know, she has Aunt Marge's nose or Uncle Fred's eyes or she has Uncle Billy's laugh and so forth and so on. Or, you know, Grandpa John's anger, you know, temper, that kind of thing, right? And they'll go down the list of characteristics, physical, even mental. Oh, my gosh, look at the kid is just as smart as Nephew Billy kind of thing. And then emotional. But we've never made the connection to spiritual characteristics. And I've often thought, and again, this ties into the subject matter that I want to kind of get into in regards to reincarnation and having lived previous lives on this planet, that if we come into this world and we're born into a human family, that we take on the physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual characteristics so that our tendencies in many cases on a spiritual level are, I don't want to say predestined, but they can be influenced by those spiritual characteristics of our ancestors. What's your thought on that?
Oh, most certainly, Richard, most certainly. I do agree with you 100%. You know, in doing genealogies, I've done the genealogies of hundreds of families, and often the genealogist gets to know the family even better than the family knows the family. And when you go back generation after generation and you're identifying the occupations and characteristics in stories that are told, you can often find occupation, for instance. There was once a family I researched that seven generations in a row, they were all ministers. And in branches of the family that did not know each other. So that was fascinating. Totally fascinating. And other characteristics as well, such as
factors that sort of influence that particular genealogical line to that sort of predisposed to be ministers.
That's
or
the word. Thank you.
Predisposed
to. Say, becoming alcoholics or drug use or whatever.
So it's not necessarily, as many scientists are starting to find, that because of your example, alcoholism, it's not necessarily something in the genes. Maybe it's something even deeper than that.
You know, it could be. It absolutely could be.
Okay.
I'm not saying it is, but yeah. Environment, for one, I could play a whole lot of it, and different education levels. So
now, I have to say, I come from a fairly large family, and up until recently, I never really took much notice to the various birthdays and significant events of my siblings. Certainly do remember my parents' wedding anniversary and Mother's Day and my mother's birthday, because my father will remind me if I forget. So, but what is it? So genealogy in terms of my ancestors has never really interested me that much until my years of late, where now I'm saying, well, does thus and such run in our family as far as a medical condition? And, you know, I go to my mother and say, you know, are we predisposed to this condition or that condition or the other? And then she'll give me that information. But for the most part, it's never really interested me. Why does it fascinate you so to the point where you do this for companies and individuals?
Well, I am a curious individual to begin with. And for me, I had the desire to know my roots. Some people have, you know, the desire to go and become an athlete. Some people have the desire to act, or it's a passion for me. And I had to know about my grandparents and Greece. I only knew that they came from Greece, and that was it. And so it took me 30 years to research my own family. And aside from my grandmother down, I knew nothing. So I've discovered my grandfather's 5 siblings and his parents, and then traced all of them down and came up with over 500 people on the tree. So and tracked them back through coming to North America, and you know, a couple of the brothers stayed in the United States, and their family became coal miners. It was totally fascinating, and I traveled to West Virginia, I traveled to Greece, just amazing. And I've just created a 5-hour video with thousands of photographs and text on 2 discs. So you know, it's a culmination of 30 years work, and for me, it feels like this huge burden has been lifted from my shoulders, because I identified my roots, and I know where I came from. I know where I'm going now. You know, I think that a lot of times you can't know where you're going unless you know where you are coming from.
Okay. So I want to delve into that just a little bit. Why is it that you feel you now know where you're going, knowing what you know about your family and your past?
Well, I think it's not so much that I know where I'm going, but I know that I'm going in the right direction. And again, it's something that I can't put words to. It's just a feeling. Mm-hmm. Probably something that there's no term for in the English language. It's just a feeling of knowing your roots, understanding your family, understanding why you are like you, or pardon me, why I'm like I am, and why my siblings are like they are, why my grandparents were like they were. And it's an understanding of everything put together. From everything, through their environment, their experiences, their language, their culture, and their interpersonal relationships. I believe that genealogy is extremely healing, because when you're researching these things, you are forced to think about the person whose facts you're writing down, even if it's only birth date and death date and wondering where they were born. You know, and you're forced to almost come to terms with everything that's happened between you and this other person, even if they've passed away, because I believe there's still, as you said, spiritual connections and psychic connections.
Mm-hmm. And I guess from my perspective, I guess I could say, okay, well, I know why I am the way that I am. I know why I have the issues, some of the issues, because some of the issues you develop in this lifetime. But there are some that's like, why am I interested in this thing? I've never been exposed to this before, and yet I'm you know, fascinated by these things. And so you can go back in your past. As a matter of fact, one of the things that kind of struck me as you were telling me about the various individuals, even in a general sense, and who and what they are and what they did. Have you ever stopped to consider that if one of your ancestors were pulled out of the pile, pulled out of the mix, what a difference? In other words, how integral was their life in the continuation to the present? In other words, if they didn't exist, what do you think the world would look like today?
Well, I think we would certainly be different, because I believe that we are a reflection of every one of our ancestors combined.
What about the honoring of ancestors?
Oh, so important. So important. Our ancestors are the ones who fed us when we could not, when we were little. They clothed us. They took care of us. We have to respect that and honor them, thank them, and be grateful and appreciate them.
Gail Bongalis is my guest. She's the host of her own radio program on the internet, and it is on SQR.fm. It is called Universal Hope Radio, and we're talking about a lot of different subjects that she deals with on her program. What we're doing is sharing with you the fact that there are other people out there, as I'm sure you're aware, and if you're not, you are now, who are striving for the same things that we are here on Tell Me Your Story, trying to bring you new paradigms for a new world. And I remember, Gail, when I first came up with that little slogan, and I did have some help with that. As a matter of fact, there are times when, I don't know about you, but there are times when I'd like to think, I did all this myself. I've made it to the top of the mountain, and I did it on my own. And the reality is, you don't. And this goes back to the whole issue of genealogy. You didn't get where you are today if it weren't not only for all of the people in your life that came along, but also all the people before your life.
Oh, yes. Yeah, you are so correct in that, so correct. You know, a few years ago, I spent months scanning in photographs, all the old photographs I had, and I didn't know why I was doing that, but I was obsessed. I would come home from work and scan. Until it was all done. And then I left it. And then a couple years ago, the same thing happened when I began. I sat down and opened Movie Magic or Movie Maker on Windows. And I thought, and this looks interesting. I wonder what kind of movie I could make. And I just put in a couple of photos of genealogy, you know, my ancestors. And I thought, I guess you can put text in here too. And it was like, bingo. It just happened. It was like channeling. It was not me doing it. It was somebody else. And I could not stop doing that again. And I took all those photographs that I had scanned the previous year and created this DVD. And I, as you say, as much as I would like to take credit for it, it wasn't me that did it. I facilitated it.
Well, it's like I say here, I don't ask the questions the universe does. I'm just along for the ride.
Amen.
You know, and I like to think that I'm getting better at doing that, not just with this program, but also just in my day to day. In that, I listened. We started out talking about the still small voice, our intuition, the higher self, and I remember somebody called me and they were having a problem and they wanted some guidance, and I called them back and I said, look, you know what you need to do. You know what direction. Now, I said that without any preconceived, I know what you should do and you know what you should do. No, it was, you know what you need to do. Mm-hmm. Listen to the still small voice. And I said this rather emphatically. I said, it will never, ever, ever steer you wrong. Never.
Yeah.
It will never, ever steer you wrong. Listen and follow. The hardest, in one sense, Gail, the easy part is the listening once you've started listening. The hard part is following through. That seems to be the hard part.
I think it might be the other way around.
Oh, really? Okay.
It was very, very difficult for me to listen to begin with. I was like a brick wall and had no faith whatsoever, nothing. And then once I opened up, it was a whole new world. And it was like doors had flung open. I walked through them, and Richard, I never looked back.
Before we wrap up the program, a couple of questions that I ask my guests. First one is, who is Gail Bongalis?
I'm a lover of life. A lover of life, for sure. Mother, friend, passionate person with many, many varied interests. Curiosity, filled with curiosity, yes.
And with all of the things that you have done and that you are doing now, why this? Why now?
As the radio show or the genealogy?
All of it that you're doing
all
now.
Of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm a person that follows my passions. I follow my heart always. And if my heart is calling for me to do something, I have to go do it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. UniversalHopeRadio.com is her website. She streams the radio program Monday evenings at 6 p.m. Pacific time from Vancouver, Canada. Is that
yes.
where that's where you are?
Yes, yes, I stream it from Vancouver.
Mm-hmm. And it's streamed at SQR.fm.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, we here at Tell Me Your Story are hoping to also make the jump to SQR.fm. We will be not simulcasting per se, but we will be broadcasting there as well as on the stations that we're on now. And so we're looking forward to joining the family.
Yes, we'll look forward to having you, Richard.
I think it's going to be a lot of fun, to say the very least, and we'll have many of the hosts on our program to talk about where they're from, where they're going, and mm-hmm. And see how things happen from that standpoint. As far as how can I put this? A piece of advice, a statement, a mission statement, if you will, or a vision. What would you leave our listeners with?
Well, I would recommend, you know, that they also follow their hearts. I think that that's critical. And with genealogy, it can reunite families. It can rejuvenate relationships and create new bonds. And if you've never thought of exploring it, explore it. You can leave a legacy for your family.
Well, and the other aspect, too, is not just the names and the dates of death and birth, but if there's a way to somehow get additional character information, you know, so much the better.
Yes, there's lots of possibilities. You can put together a book. Nowadays, it's so easy, and or a DVD or whatever, you know, create your tree. It's not difficult.
I know my mother did that. I think I have a copy of that in a drawer somewhere, and I've looked through it a couple of times. It really is. It's very interesting to look back. So you don't know the names. You don't really know the people. But, you know, it's still kind of interesting to look back and hopefully, you know, have occupations or places where they lived. And I'm wondering, too, if that's ever popped up in terms of particular family genealogies, and they've all chosen to live in similar climates and regions of whatever countries. Like they've always lived on the coast, even if it was, you know, thousands of miles away in other countries.
Mm-hmm. You know, what's really interesting, I once did a case where I was searching for a missing son. And both father and son were from California. And the father was living in Florida at the time, but initially they'd been in California. And I found the son living two blocks away from the father in Florida.
And they didn't know it?
They didn't know it.
Wow.
So, and that kind of thing happens all the time.
Wow.
It's amazing, amazing, the stories.
Well, I think, because I'm not exactly sure where Vancouver is, I should know this, but
we're just 3 hours north of Seattle.
Oh, so you're
the
in the
west coast of Canada.
Same time zone. Wonderful. Well, maybe one of these days we'll make it up there, or if you're down here, we'll have you in studio.
That would be awesome, Richard. Thank you so much for this great opportunity.
Well, you're very welcome. Again, it is Gail Bongalis, and the website is UniversalHopeRadio.com. She streams live at SQR.fm, 6 p.m. Pacific time, Mondays. We encourage you to check her out and see what she has to offer. And I would take do you open the phone lines for people to call in from time to time, or is it just interviews?
Occasionally we do, yes, especially when we have Rachel Harris, our resident medium, on. She's usually on the last Monday of each month.
All right. Well, check it out, folks. I think it's fascinating. And Gail, thank you so much for joining us on the program.
Thank you, Richard.
And I thank you for listening. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next Saturday at 7 p.m. Pacific time, we've got two more Saturdays at 7 p.m. And then in June, we'll be back to the 3 p.m. slot. But you can always check out the archives at richarddugan.com, the radio show's page. We encourage you to do so. Until next Saturday at this same time, love to Lal.